Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Anger: How to Live With It and Without It by Albert Ellis, with Arthur Lang and a foreword by Raymond A. Di Giuseppe is a self-help and psychotherapy book grounded in rational emotive behavior therapy, or REBT. It presents anger not as an unavoidable force, but as a human response shaped by beliefs, interpretations, and habits of thinking. The book is designed as a practical guide for readers who want to understand where anger comes from, how it escalates, and how it can be reduced without losing healthy assertiveness. Rather than treating anger as something to simply vent or suppress, Ellis frames it as a problem that can be examined and changed through disciplined thought and behavior. The book speaks to personal, family, workplace, and broader social situations, making it relevant to readers who want a clinically informed approach to emotional self-management. Its purpose is both educational and therapeutic to help people identify destructive anger patterns and replace them with more effective responses. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, REBT as the book's central method for changing anger. The book is built around rational emotive behavior therapy, the psychological approach Ellis pioneered and made widely influential. This matters because the book does not treat anger as a mystery emotion that must be endured. It treats anger as a pattern that can be analyzed and modified. REBT teaches that people are not simply upset by events themselves, but by the beliefs they attach to those events. In the context of anger, this means the reader is guided to look for demands, rigid expectations, and catastrophic interpretations that intensify hostility. The value of this approach is practical. It gives readers a repeatable framework rather than a vague invitation to calm down. It also distinguishes the book from popular anger management advice that focuses only on expression or restraint. Ellis aims to change the mental structure that produces anger in the first place, while still preserving the ability to respond firmly and appropriately when genuine boundaries are needed. Secondly, how the book explains the construction of anger through thinking. A major theme in the book is that anger is often self-generated through specific styles of thinking. Ellis argues that people frequently create anger by telling themselves that others must behave differently, that unfairness is intolerable, or that disrespect demands retaliation. This is a significant analytical move because it shifts attention away from blame alone and towards self-observation. The book encourages readers to examine the internal statements that precede anger, since those statements often turn irritation into rage. This emphasis makes the work more than a moral appeal to be patient. It is a cognitive diagnosis of how hostile emotion develops. By tracing anger back to beliefs, the book also gives readers leverage. If the beliefs can be identified, they can be questioned and revised. That makes the book especially useful for readers who repeatedly react with the same intensity in familiar situations, because it offers a way to interrupt the cycle at its source instead of only managing the aftermath. Thirdly, assertiveness without aggression is a key distinction. The book repeatedly separates healthy assertiveness from destructive anger. This distinction is central because many anger books imply that the solution is to become passive, agreeable, or emotionally detached. Ellis rejects that idea. He argues that a person can stand up for rights, set limits, and challenge unfair treatment without becoming hostile or abusive. This is one of the book's most important practical contributions, since it reframes anger management as a matter of effective conduct rather than emotional suppression. The reader is not asked to eliminate all forcefulness, only the needless fury that damages judgment and relationships. That distinction is especially relevant in work settings, family conflict, and political disagreement, where strong boundaries may be necessary. The book, therefore, offers a more nuanced model of self-control. One can remain firm, direct, and principled while refusing the emotional excess that turns conflict into escalation. This balance is a major reason the book remains useful in applied psychology. Fourthly, why holding on to anger can feel rewarding, and why that matters. Another insightful part of the book is its recognition that anger can sometimes be pleasurable or self-reinforcing. Ellis does not assume that people only want to get rid of anger because it hurts them. He also notes that anger can feel energizing, morally satisfying, or vindicating in the short term. That observation matters because it explains why anger is so persistent even when it causes obvious harm. If a behavior has some emotional payoff, people may continue it despite its costs. The book uses this insight to make anger reduction more realistic. Instead of treating hostile emotion as a simple mistake, it treats it as a habit supported by reinforcement. This gives readers a better understanding of why letting go can be difficult and why insight alone may not be enough. It also supports the book's therapeutic style, which encourages repeated practice in changing one's internal dialogue and behavior. By addressing the appeal of anger itself, Ellis offers a deeper explanation of why people stay stuck in cycles of resentment. Lastly, extending anger management to tragedy, politics, and modern social life. The book is not limited to private irritations or interpersonal quarrels. Its examples and framing extend to broader contexts such as road rage, domestic conflict, teen violence, political anger, and tragic events that are beyond individual control. This wider scope is important because it shows the book is not just about etiquette or emotional restraint in ordinary disputes. It is about how people think and act under conditions of real social stress and injustice. Ellis's approach is useful precisely because it does not deny the existence of serious problems. Instead, it asks how one can respond constructively without being consumed by destructive emotion. The discussion of tragic or uncontrollable events is especially notable because it acknowledges that not every painful experience can be fixed. Yet one can still work on the beliefs that amplify suffering. This makes the book relevant both to personal psychology and to the emotional climate of public life. Its applications are broad, but its method remains consistent: examine beliefs, reduce irrational escalation, and preserve effective action. In conclusion, Anger: How to Live with It and Without It is best suited for readers who want a practical, psychologically grounded approach to anger rather than a purely motivational or moral one. It will appeal to people dealing with recurring irritation, chronic resentment, workplace conflict, family tension, or the habit of reacting too intensely to setbacks and disrespect. It is also valuable for readers interested in the foundations of cognitive behavioral thinking, since it shows REBT in a direct and accessible form. What sets the book apart from many other anger management titles is its refusal to treat anger as something that must either be expressed freely or buried completely. Instead, Ellis argues that anger can be understood, questioned, and reduced while keeping the capacity for firm, appropriate assertiveness. That balance gives the book lasting relevance. It is both clinically informed and immediately usable, offering not just reassurance, but a method for identifying the beliefs that create anger and replacing them with more workable responses. For readers who want a disciplined framework rather than general advice, this book remains one of the clearest classics in the field. If you would like to support Albert Ellis, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.